And now
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, thanks for making us a part of your Wednesday? Yeah, we've got What You Got Wednesday today.
The irony is that Steven Tyler kind of looks like a lady.
He has that thing with the scarves.
Yeah, he's got the long hair and big lips. And
wears a lot of jewelry.
Wears a lot of jewelry. He kind of, if we're looking into stereotypes, Steven Tyler's channeled that.
I read their autobiography, which was a pretty interesting read.
That's a good song, though. Makes that you want to watch Mrs. Doubtfire, which I haven't seen in a good two decades.
That was in their midst, Ben, of their like first reboot. They've had several career reboots.
Yeah.
And that was their like first one in the 80s, where they were like really good at the 70s. They burned bright, then had some personal issues that caused them to be less than productive.
Intravenous drug use.
For several years.
Yeah.
You know, the what kicked off their kind of inspiration to get it together and have that reboot in the 80s? A rap group named Run DMC.
Yep.
Blew them up. And said, actually, it was just Steven and Joe who hated each other at the time. And they said, yeah, we want a sample. And they actually thought the song was called Toys in the Attic, but the album was called Toys in the Attic. But anyway, they were like, we want to sample your song. And then they said, we want to put you in the music video. And they said, well, we hate each other, but we're really desperate for money, so we'll do it.
And Walk This Way was born.
And then they had like, hey, we got to get it together. We can have a thing again. And then what was the Alicia Silverstone music video? That was right there in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? No, was that
Crazy?
Crazy, yeah. And then Janie's Got a Gun and all that. Yeah. And then they had another reboot around, surrounding some sort of terrible asteroid movie.
Yeah.
That was like when I was a senior in high school.
Just to Hear You Breathing song. Yeah.
Which is all ancient history to Sarah.
Yeah, all before her, she was alive.
She's like, yeah, I'm aware of Aerosmith.
But she's been on Rock and Roller Coaster. She knows Aerosmith. She's seen the intro with Steven Tyler. They're late to the concert, and you've got to ride the limousine. Which is a great ride.
But I think Sarah's generation just lumps Aerosmith all together and doesn't realize it's like three reboots over a 35-year span.
Yeah, right. Constantly rebranding, which might have something to do with our What You Got Wednesday today. So,
ooh, good tease, yeah. Ben. That's coming up at 11:30, which is nice. Ben, it's a big day in the Valley. You know, we had Locke talk last week where he talked about when the O2 Olympics announcement was made. I mean, I'd love to hear from listeners out there about comparable moments in the Utah sports landscape. I'm sure there were several big ones that came before my time. I remember the Pac-10/12 ceremony at the Capitol where, when that whole thing, became official, there were several Big 12 moments at BYU. And then, today I think should really rank high amongst them, I would guess, as there's going to be a big party down at Delta Center, 4 o'clock, right, Ben?
Kicks off at 4 o'clock. If you're just getting off work, I would tell you, you'll probably be fine if you come in before five. Knowing how those types of things work, I don't think you're going to miss a lot. I would get down there as early as you can. There's an article at KSL Sports and KSL News about traffic's expected to be busy because there are a lot of people who are going to come down. Many as maybe 20,000 people are going to be down there. But come on down, hang out. And yeah, if you get off work at 4, still come down.
Oh yeah, for sure. It should be a big deal. It should be one of those things, and I think the community is eager to support the NHL coming here, and this is a great way to get it started, and send the right message. You know that this is going to be a well supported franchise, because that's what's going to ultimately decide on its success or failure, is if they get people through the gate, because the NHL is very reliant on gate. They get people through the gate, and they get the buzz and the community support that makes these things a success.
And first impressions matter. And yep. Not just for the players. Like, the players are going to be happy here. We've talked about that. You've got a bunch of 22 to 27-year-old kids living the absolute dream, going from an area in Arizona that is a great city and town, and they had their dedicated followers, but they were playing in a 5,000-seat stadium that didn't always sell out, with a horrendous owner, to a new owner in a, it's only going to be 14,000 seats, but 14,000 compared to 5,000 is a significant upgrade at the Delta Center starting next year, with a fan base that is so hungry for this, that is so hungry for this second major professional sports franchise of the major four sports. Go down there and make a huge impression and let them know that they're going to be superstars here and beloved here, and that Utah has their back all the way. And again, not just because of the players, but because the rest of the world is going to be watching as well. The sports world is going to be watching. They want to see how you greet it. As soon as they realized you could get sports to work professionally in Vegas, everything flocked to Vegas. Show that it is easy to do here. Show that it's easy to win here. Show that it's easy to sell tickets here. And we're only going to get more teams. So that's why I would say go make a big deal out of this. Show up, bring your family, be a part of it.
Get them set up with a sweet condo in American Towers?
Whatever.
Show them Lumpy's downtown?
Man, the more I learn about hockey and how it works, we've had a bunch of great articles from Jay Stevens at KSLSports.com. Chandler Holt's also written some. I love the design of contracts, of the hard cap. It's so
smart. Oh, it's
smart.
Really interesting.
You know, every first-round pick has the same contract? You get a base, like, $900,000 deal? Well, yeah, right. Great. You're a first-year player. Yeah, you're welcome to the league. You can still go up and down between the NHL, the AHL, et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah, you all get paid $950,000 because you're young and you're probably not going to be the biggest difference maker on the planet. And if you are, great. But you have a chance to help your team win because you're not so exorbitantly expensive from year one. It's great. I love the design.
I do too, because I think it's interesting. I mean, who's it good for? I mean, it's extremely team friendly.
Yeah, very team
and
friendly.
It is the reason that there was no hockey for a year and a half.
Gary Bettman and the owner said, "We're going to take everything from the players' union.
We're going to crush a union."
And they got it.
And they did it.
Yeah.
And if you remember hockey at the time, and I have to go back and look at some of the specific contracts, but you know, it was the, what were the years, Ben? I mean, it was when like Crosby was young and so things were getting.
It was right there with the NBA.
It was.
If I remember. So
yeah,
it was like
yeah.
2010, 2011, 2012.
And contracts were getting really like weird and ludicrous. And the NHL's, the owners said, well, we can't afford that. So kind of a do or die situation for us. And they went to the mat for a year and a half. But what they got is a very team-friendly situation. I think it does make things interesting. I would guess some of the more notable players are a little grumpy with it. But you know what? It's, in theory, set up the league to succeed because the NHL is not the NFL
or the
NBA. So I think I'm really going to enjoy, I talked about this a little last week, Ben. I'm going to really enjoy getting into the minutiae of that. I love that. I love the game that's behind the game. You know what
Sidney
I mean?
Sidney Crosby, who we were talking to Elliot Friedman last week, was talking about how he's, you know, the LeBron of the NBA. And everyone knows
the NHL,
Sid the
yeah.
Kid. Everyone knows Sidney, of the NHL. Sidney Crosby, everyone knows Sid. He signed a 12-year, $104 million deal. His average deal is $8 million, $8.5 million. Like, that's, I understand you're right. Well, that's why he would be grumpy. But, like, you have a hard cap. You can't have one player who makes $40 million or $50 million a la Bradley Beal, and you can't afford to pay anybody else. Like, I would get why being an owner in the NHL would rule.
Yeah, you're like, it's cool.
It's great. I know exactly what my salary cap is going to be every year.
And I'm going to have 8 years or whatever it is to decide if anybody's any good.
Yeah. I mean, this was a 12-year deal he signed.
It's great.
That must be a veteran thing. You can sign 12-year contracts.
Great for the team.
Yeah. So, I'm excited about it. I'm pro player. I'm happy for players to be able to earn money, but I like the simplicity of the lack of a luxury tax and why do some teams spend so much and why do some teams spend so little. I like that's out the window.
If you're like me and you don't necessarily think player empowerment has been a good thing for the NBA, the NHL might be your bag.
Absolutely.
So and if we're talking about as a whole, this is better for the league.
Yeah.
This allows things like Ryan just stepping in and going, yeah, I'll pay it. Whatever. Yeah. Billion, whatever. Yeah, I'll just pay it.
So.
Because it's going to be consistent. It's set up to be that way.
And I'm excited to see the players tonight. The players are going to be there. I think you're going to get introductions from them. I imagine you'll hear from the coach. I imagine you'll hear from Bill Armstrong. I'm excited to see what they do. I don't know who all is talking. I don't know if Ryan's going to be there. I don't know what local officials are going to be there. But it's going to be a big event. It's going to be a major event for the state of Utah. And I'm excited to see what everyone looks like and what the vibe is like and what the ice is like. And it's going to be fun.
It can be warm.
It's going to be beautiful outside. Go get a hot dog. Free J Dogs.
It's supposed to be like 75 or something today. Yeah,
right.
It's supposed to be like gorgeous.
Not a better day to tell all the new players that this is what it's like year round.
Or tell your boss that, oh, my kid must have brought something home from school.
Got a cough.
Just duck out a little early. Canceled a meeting. I'll do it tomorrow.
So
should be fun.
No, it's going to be a great party. Everyone should go. Absolutely everybody should go. Welcome these guys. And you know what? Do it for yourself. I mean, this is your team. This is not somebody else's team. This is not something you have to sell yourself on. This is a Utah major sports franchise making their debut in Salt Lake City. So go support them. This is about you as well. Very cool.
And, take tracks.
Absolutely.
Let's not clog up the thoroughfare for those of us that might need to get in and out.
I'll be there. Say hi. I'm excited to be down there.
Yeah, it should be really cool. And, I'm excited about the whole thing. This is amazing. I mean, having been a part of this sports landscape around here for a while now, I'm really excited about it. I'm excited about the whole prospect. And I think it's nothing but good for our community. It's somebody that's also invested in specifically the Wasatch Front, I suppose, but Utah as a whole, as our radio signal goes quite the distance, Ben.
Yep.
I think this is good for everybody.
I went and watched a rec league hockey game last night, which I had a friend doing it, so I was happy to support them. But like, I was just like into the intricacies of hockey all of a sudden. And with all due respect, what they were doing compared to what any organized hockey is actually going to be like is totally different. And I was like, I was geeked about the game yesterday. I got into the game yesterday. I can't imagine what this is going to be like when it's an actual NHL game.
You know what's funny about some of our smaller communities, Ben? You drive down to Richfield or any number of examples, but I'm specifically familiar with Richfield and have noticed. You know what you see a lot of? Like jazz flags.
Everywhere.
And you know, you talk to people, they're like, oh, yeah, your station makes it down here. Oh, yeah, I tune in for the jazz news. Oh, we did a remote in Price, and we had this guy, and I can't for the life of me think of what exactly his occupation was. It was Forest Service or something. Mm-hmm. But he was basically like stationed on top of a mountain.
Oh, yeah.
And we were in Price, and he was like, He came down. I mean, it took him a while. Like, he came down. He did the whole thing. He came. We were doing a remote at the Natural History Museum there.
That's great.
And he comes through. He's like, it's so good to see
glad
you.
You're here. He's like, a fire spotter. Yeah, sitting on top of a mountain.
He's like, I just sit up there all day and tune into the radio. It's great. I can't believe you're doing a remote anywhere close to me. But it's funny. There are a lot of, you know, a lot of cool places in this state, and people are jazz fans. I mean, and they drive. They come in. You know, I think part of the reason you like the idea, I mean, there are lots of reasons, but you like the idea of keeping the arena in Salt Lake City is it's in between Ogden and Provo. Mm-hmm. And we've pretty much grown together at this point, right? I mean, there's not really all that much undeveloped. If you take I-15 from Brigham City to Spanish Fork, mm-hmm. at least, right? You're not running into very much open space anymore.
No, not at all.
And downtown Salt Lake's still in the middle of it. And so it's still easy to get to if you're coming from north, south, east, or west. Two major freeways in this country meet and are actually the same freeway for, what is it, like 3 miles mm-hmm. in Salt Lake City. So I think it's a great place for it. Because
it's gonna be awesome.
I think it's more than just... I mean, there's a reason Ryan wants to call it Utah, right? There's a reason Larry wanted to call it. Or I guess it would have been Battistone. But anyway.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you can make it a thing. Things are spread out here. And people identify with what's close. It's the reason I've kind of tried to pretend to like the Raiders.
Yeah.
They're a really hard franchise to like.
The Rockies are the same way.
Yeah.
Right? The Rockies are the exact same way.
Yeah. Like
the idea of trying... root for the team that's close and has some area.
Kind of want to jump. Oh, this is so bad. So bad.
We get Rockies games aired locally, and yeah, they just haven't been very good. That's what's exciting about this Coyotes team is that they are on the rise, and now it's the Utah Hockey Club. But they are on the rise, and this is going to be an
and
easier team
can
to root for.
Jump in.
And, you know, what's our freeway that runs north-south?
I-80?
80. I mean, that goes all the way down to...
No, north-south is 15.
Yeah,
east
15.
West
so that, okay.
80.
Mm-hmm. It goes down all the way to Arizona. Yep. I mean, there's going to be Arizona hockey fans
it
now.
It goes to L.A. and then on to San Diego.
So how do we get to Phoenix? You just can't get there?
Phoenix, you have to switch freeways.
Oh, my gosh.
You really haven't made this drive much,
no,
have
no,
you?
I've never been there. I've never been to Arizona. I maybe cut the corner going to Vegas.
It's funny. I told Ben, like, I think I drive the I-15 south at least 3 or 4 times a year. And you're like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah. No, I don't do that. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to have this whole linear north-south run of the United States.
I guess hockey. You go, what, like east because you're a Bear Lake guy?
Mm-hmm.
So that's more your freeway.
Idaho, Wyoming,
that you're,
yeah.
You do that direction a little mm-hmm. bit more? Okay. All right. Makes more sense.
Northerner.
But, yeah, 15 goes, basically takes a right to get to St. George and continues
right.
on right to get to Vegas and then on down to L.A. and San Diego.
Well, hey.
I-80 ends in San Francisco.
Okay. So if you're in St. George, drive on up. There's going to be people coming up to see this hockey team
from
all
over.
Oh, yeah,
I totally agree.
I mean, there are people driving up today making the plan to come see this NHL team. And if you're in earshot of us, which is a wide area, come join us. Come party. I know we're going to be out on the concourse.
Ben told me before the show he's going to be wearing all pads. Like,
wearing the
like
pillows.
Fully padded.
Going to goalie. The goalie.
He's expecting a big crowd. And he figures this is not only a demonstration or an embrace of hockey, but also, you know, if he's got to club somebody with his forearm, he's going
to
do it.
I'm worried what it's going to do to the blades on my skates walking around on the cement.
Well, you can just sling those over your shoulder. You know, you
I don't have
the,
to wear
you
them.
Tie the laces together and you sling them because, you know, that's how you look cool. Like, you're, like, if there was some ice around, I'd skate on it.
He's going to wear a White Sox hat.
We go out, decked out in baseball gear.
Zing! Zing! Sarah is on her game today. She's been up since 2 in the morning, and she's still in top form.
Still ready to take a shot at me, like all Floridians. I have a sign on my back. I don't have any hockey gear. I'm going to look tonight. The Jazz store, the team store, right inside the front door. It's an NHL store right now. I'm excited to see what it looks like. I don't know what's going to be there, but I'm excited to see what it looks like.
If you see Ben tonight, just yell at him, this isn't Chicago, bro!
It'll be interesting to see how they share the branding inside the arena between NHL and between.
Oh, isn't that the beauty of digital, though, these days?
Yes,
for the most part,
you're
just going to swap it out like that. I mean, I imagine there are some things that will remain permanent. You know, you'd have...
Or you might have a full NBA store and a full NHL store.
Right.
On opposite sides of the concourse.
I mean, I would bet you that's part of the...
Or maybe they just split it.
Part
but
of the reno. They'll make it cool.
Why not have both? They're going to do a good job. Yeah.
You know, honestly, and I guess it was the Millers, but, you know, Jim Olsen still is with the Jazz, and he played a huge role in the renovation the first time. And... like, if that, honestly, they did a really good job. Like, if it's really cool. I know it's become kind of normal now, and maybe a lot of folks out there, I still have to remind myself, like, what the old building looked like. But they did a killer job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the entrance alone is 1,000 times better than it was before.
Yep.
If you remember that. And what a pleasure it was to wait to get in the door there.
Yeah.
What a real... Right. What a real treat that was. It's a zillion times better. Even down to the, what am I thinking, like the club level, you know what I'm talking mm-hmm. about down there? Like, I had my wedding reception in the old Toyota Club. I remember the old Toyota Club. The new Toyota Club, so nice. And not even that I'm complaining about the old one, but the new one is so cool. Ben, I know you wander around down there.
Mm-hmm.
You're like Tim and I. You'll sneak into your occasional dinner.
I was down there Friday for, and that's where they held the press.
Right, right.
You know what I would love for them to do, though? This is just personally. Put the media entrance on the north side of the building.
Oh, yeah. Well, they don't care about us.
Well, I'm just saying.
I know that we have to walk all the way around. Yeah, I know. You know, the media, I used to just be able to duck into this door. I'd like flashed something at somebody standing on the side, and it was like, hey, come on in. But, you know, those days are gone.
No, and they won't because that's where the tracks entrance is. So that'll always be fan side.
Oh, yeah. Media is, we're stuck on the south side, dude. We're stuck over there.
But you don't have to. They can put it on the north side. That'd be great. Or a tunnel between Triad and
Oh, now you're talking. Let's do that.
We'll take that.
Just a little
from our parking lot.
Yeah, right straight to my studio.
Let's get on the horn with the decision makers.
That would be a tunnel slash bridge.
Whatever it takes.
Right there.
Yeah.
Let's get Jeremy Potter on the phone.
Start digging.
Let's get the engineering underway.
Get your Andy Dufresne hat on and start digging
a
hole.
Let's make this thing happen.
Tonight.
I'm willing to be personally involved.
4 o'clock, again, if you're not there right at 4, or you're getting off work at 4 and you're debating on whether you're going down, go down. You'll still catch it.
Yeah, why not? The weather's going to be gorgeous.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
It's a great way to spend a Thursday. Snag the young ones.
Be a part of history. This is a major historical event in our state. This is something we're going to revisit 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, and be like, remember when this happened? This is the day.
Is your friend the mayor going to be there?
I would imagine.
We know the governor is going to be there because, you know, he's a jazz guy.
Yeah.
He's probably excited about the thing coming to town. Who else important is going to be there? Post Malone?
Is
he a hockey guy?
I would bet there would be some jazz players, I would imagine. I know Lowry said he was sticking around in town because his kids are still in school, and he's a hockey fan. So
there better be at least one Osman.
Okay. Do you have a preference?
No, I'm sure they're both fine people.
Okay.
But I feel like the community needs to put its best foot forward, and I believe that foot includes an Osman.
I thought we saw Donnie running around here not too long ago on the news side.
Yeah, man.
On the TV side.
Come down and do some Technicolor Dreamcoat. That'd be pretty rad.
I'm going to wear full hockey pads. Donnie Osman is going to wear his own Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. Totally unannounced, just to make a show.
Utah Dreamcoats?
Dreamcoats. Okay, you actually might be onto something. The Dreamcoats is a pretty great hockey name.
Are you kidding me? Did we just do that? Did we just name the team?
The Dreamcoats would be
the Dreamcoats?
I mean, I get it has some religious undertones that people might back off of.
So do we.
But the Dreamcoats is a great name. That would be an incredible hockey name.
Have Donnie up front.
And you could do whatever you wanted to with your colors, right?
Be amazing.
Yeah.
Technicolor rainbow.
Yeah, right. You can do whatever you want. Okay, the Dreamcoats is the best hockey name I've ever heard.
Utah Dreamcoats. Trademark it. Who do we know? Where's my phone? Get on that quick. All right. Stay tuned. Top three stories of the day at KSLSports.com. Coming up next, Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to break down the biggest stories of the day.
Let's go.
This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Want to remind you, nominate the U Sports volunteer you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination to kslsports.com/contest and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. All right, time for the top three stories of the day. kslsports.com brought to you by J. Brooks Jewelers, not one but two locations. to serve you, one on Winchester Street across from Fash Place Mall, the other at Traverse Mountain in Lehigh. Just saying, Mother's Day, not that far off.
Right around the corner.
So, hint. All right, Sarah, where are we starting today?
Another night of NBA playoffs.
Good games last night. Two of the three road teams won. I said maybe all three teams would win.
You were close.
You'll have to forgive me. I thought maybe the Phoenix Suns would care that they were an NBA team and that they were in maybe their last year of having an opportunity to contend for a title.
Wrong again,
with
Ben.
With their current roster. What a joke. What a joke the Phoenix Suns have turned into.
And now Ted Cruz is hurt.
Well, Grayson Allen rolled his ankle in the first game and then really sprained it in the last game. I would be shocked if we see him again this series, which means I'd be shocked if we see him this season. The Suns were throwing dirt on themselves at halftime. Anthony Edwards had not been good. Karl Anthony Towns had foul trouble in the first half, and they went into the break, and the Suns were only up one, and they were like, oh, man, like, A, we're not good in the second half, and B, the Wolves just played a terrible first half, and they're right on our heels. We don't have a chance, and they didn't. They got blown out. They're the worst fourth-quarter team in the NBA. They have no depth at all, so they were exhausted. And the Wolves are just embarrassing them. I mean, they smell blood in the water, and they are jumping on them like rabid dogs. It's pretty fun to watch, actually. It's fun to watch how well Minnesota plays.
And Jaden McDaniels is awesome.
He's awesome. He's exactly awesome. What you want. He doesn't jump on any pump fakes. He hit a bunch of shots yesterday, which he doesn't have to do to be a great player. But you know what? Every guy in the NBA can score. It's that he brings the defense every night. And then if once a year it's his night to score 25 points, he'll do it.
If the Jazz keep their late picks, and I'm not talking about the earlier, the lottery pick. I'm talking about the late picks. I mean, just because Draft Express prints it does not mean it's just fact. Was Enes Kanter the third best player
right
in that draft?
No, he was not.
Not even close. There are guys, and you heard Justin Zanuck talking about it. There are guys every year that you can grab at that part of the draft and make an impact.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't even have to go to the extremes, like the second rounders that hit a big, like Jimmy Butler or Tony Parker, but you can go to these late first, or Nikola Jokic, but you can go to these late first round picks and find, I mean, Jaden McDaniels might be, you know, an unfair precedent to set because he is so good, but you should be able to find somebody if you do your homework right and make the right decision. And that's not always the easiest thing to do, but that's what those guys want to do. I'm sure that they hope Bryce Sensabaugh could become that.
2020 was the last bad draft. Now, ironically, Anthony Edwards went at the top and was the one good player. And then we had no idea what to make after it. And there was no NCAA tournament and players didn't get to do draft workouts. So there was an issue there. And that's part of the reason why this happened. But to your point, at number 21, a young man named Tyrese Maxey, who just won Most Improved Player and is going to be a 8-time All-Star in his career. He's
baller.
Awesome. At number 25, Emmanuel Quickley. Awesome player now for the Toronto Raptors, but has been an absolutely terrific player, 19-point-per-game career average. At number 28, Jaden McDaniels. Looks like he's going to be in the conversation for future Defensive Player of the Year awards. Well, at least runner-up, because Victor Wembanyama is going to win it every year. And then at number 30 in that draft, a young man named Desmond Bane. And the Jazz came out of the barrel sucking their thumb because they got Udoka as a
rookie. They got Doak. Which stinks. And you know what? There were other teams in that draft that certainly missed.
Absolutely,
and,
of course.
And passed on all those guys as well.
Yeah, I mean, Toronto drafted Malachi Flynn, one spot ahead of Desmond Bain. The Knicks drafted Leandro Bolmaro, former Jazz man, part of the Rudy Gobert trade. Played 49 games over two seasons. Yeah, a lot of guys didn't make it. But
well, even if you think about this, Ben, you know, agents are hiding medical records for a reason, right? So you got to think that means at least three or four players that go in the first round, five maybe, are medically
unclear
right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that makes it murky, and you can find somebody back that late.
You might never see that again. The last six picks of the first round
are all ballers.
Were better than the first six picks of the first round. With the exception of Anthony Edwards, it goes James Wiseman, total bust. LaMelo Ball's good. He never plays. Patrick Williams is a bust. Isaac Okoro's fine, but he's a role player. Onyeka Okongwu is fine, but he's a role player. And the last six are Emmanuel Quickley, good. Peyton Pritchard, good. Udoka Azubuike, bust. Jaden McDaniel, good. Malachi Flynn just scored 50, but might be on his way out of the league. And Desmond Bane, very good.
Real quick on the other games, Ben. Milwaukee can't guard, and that's a problem. And I realize Indiana is the ultimate flamethrower of a team, but that is going to be why Milwaukee doesn't make it to the finals.
No, it's why they're not going to make it out of this first round.
Yeah,
if
they can't guard,
if you don't get Giannis back. And here's the problem: when you think of the Indiana Pacers, you think of one player. You think of Tyrese Halliburton. Tyrese last night had 12 points on four makes. It's like he's not doing anything. His hamstring is really bothering him. He can't do anything right, and they're still running
up
and down.
They're still pouring on 125 points.
Yeah, all over you. So an absolute nightmare. And then Dallas evens the series on the road.
Which it shouldn't be all that unexpected. I think the Clippers could win in Dallas.
Neither of those teams care where they're playing. It matters if Kawhi's knee responds after playing 35 minutes last night.
And yeah, Ben, like, he hasn't played in a month.
Yeah.
Or it's not a month, but it's
9 games. Probably close to a month.
He hasn't played forever, so you just drop him in playing 35 minutes. I know it's the playoffs, but, I mean, he wasn't good.
No, he wasn't, and they weren't good because they were trying to figure out what his rhythm was, and he couldn't shoot, and he couldn't get past Luka on drives. And if he responds in Game 3, if he can play, watch his knee, if he can play, it's a best-of-5 series, and it is, I don't care. It doesn't matter where these teams are playing at all. Everyone can win on everyone's home floor. These players are all good. They all have a ton of playoff experience. It's just a best-of-5 series now.
There's a reason coaches like bring you, like, we'll bring you off the bench for a game.
Yeah.
You know? Go out there and let it fly for 20 minutes. Let's see how it goes.
Only 2 games tonight. Miami at Boston, the worst series being played. And then the other 8-1, Pelicans, Thunder.
Any thoughts on that? I mean, Boston's, yeah.
Boston's going to run roughshod over.
And then Pelicans, Thunder was close game one. Be close game two?
I doubt it. I think the Pelicans probably needed that game one if they wanted to have a chance to make this a long series. I could be wrong. They've played pretty well in this play-in tournament and first game there because their defense is pretty legit. And you hope Brandon Ingram's better than he was in game
one. Oklahoma City, though, is super flawed. So,
well, they can't rebound.
That means that anybody could beat them.
And like Jonas Valanciunas will grab 20 rebounds.
Yeah, the Pelicans are big.
Yeah.
They're randomly big.
At every position. Herb Jones is big. Trey Murphy's big. Jonas Valanciunas is big. Brandon Ingram's big. They're really big outside of C.J. McCollum.
When we talk about playoffs being all about matchups, I don't think the Pelicans are that great, but they're randomly a bad matchup for Oklahoma City because they're huge.
Yep. Something to consider for the Jazz in the draft.
Yeah.
Get a big guy. You can always use size at positions.
Next.
Number 2, Kevin Young makes his first hire for the BYU basketball staff.
Starting to fill this out a little bit. He's seeing the light at the end of the tunnel that is his NBA coaching career because, as we mentioned, the Phoenix Suns are probably not long for the NBA playoffs.
It's a good thing that they made a hire, Ben, and I like the hire for this reason. They hire Brandon Dunson. He's been most recently at Stanford. On the staff there, but his background includes being an assistant at Nevada, Denver, Cal State Fullerton, and an associate head coach at Arizona Christian University. And he's actually from Illinois and played 1 year at Arizona State. But you know what I like about that background? This guy knows a lot of people.
Knows a lot of people.
And I don't know what specifically his job is going to be, but that tells me that the likelihood of him being pretty dialed into the recruiting scene is probably pretty good.
According to Mitch Harper, KSL Sports, he began his career at Stanford as director of basketball development from 2016 to 2018, where he helped implement recruiting strategies.
Okay.
That's the name of the game.
There you go.
Recruiting. Now it's different in 2016 and 2018 at Stanford versus today's NIL. But that's your priority. Go recruit. Go bring in bodies. And he's 34. He's young. Like you said, he knows a lot of people. Certainly knows the mountain area from where he's lived, from Colorado over to all of Northern California. That's the type of guy you're looking for.
Yeah, we talked about it last week, Ben. This needed to kind of be the first coaching hire. Who's going to be the one that's plugged in? Who's going to be the one? Because this is really important for an NBA coach coming into college. I don't think either one of us is all that concerned about the coach coming up with a game plan that will best suit his vision for BYU.
We will see.
But
I'm
fairly confident about that. I mean, NBA teams aren't considering this guy because he doesn't know what he's doing.
No, absolutely.
But what he's not is a college basketball guy, and he's not a high school basketball guy. And you got to find somebody who's plugged in, or it's just not going to happen. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so it would appear that this is a step toward doing that. Anyway, I really like his background.
Yep. Right age, everything.
Everything.
Good hire.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, next.
Number three, the welcome party for the Utah NHL team is today.
Kicks off at 4 o'clock. Like I said, if you're getting off work at 4, I think you're still going to have time to roll down, take part in it. Players, I would imagine, would come a little bit later. This is just about getting everyone excited and welcoming these guys and welcoming the owners and, well, the owner is Ryan, but welcoming the GMs and welcoming the coaches and the players. It's about the fans, too. Welcome to the NHL. This is your chance to get your first look. It's free. Free food. Can't beat that. Take the kids down. It's going to be awesome.
The buzz of an expansion team is pretty cool because it is new and, you know, the best franchises capitalize on that and then it establishes in the community and then, you know, you have a team who's been around for 30, 40 years. But the newness part of it, not the expansion, I guess, but the newness part of it is really cool. And it lasts for several years. I remember even back, Ben, when the Buzz were rebirthed. Down at, I don't even remember what it was originally called. Was it Franklin Covey originally?
Yeah.
Man, that place was packed forever. You know, baseball was back. And they still draw fine. Now I'm not. But, you know, there was a huge buzz, so to speak, surrounding that. You know, the newness factor of it. When RSL was new, and they were putting a lot of butts in the seats at Rice-Eccles Stadium. There were a lot of people who came and checked it out and got into it. And then they did some winning and really established and now have been around for how long? 15 years? Longer?
Yeah.
Does that sound about right?
Yeah, right around there.
So, and they have a great supporting. So this initial part is really fun, but it's also really important because you got to lay the groundwork and then the franchise has to take it from there and take the support from there. But it's tough if you came in and there isn't going to be that buzz. So I think the party's going to be super fun, but it's also going to be a way to send a message. Like, this is going to be a thing here.
Absolutely. The expectation, I mean, we're going to show up. The fans are going to show up. We want you to show up as well.
It's going to be a thing here. Hockey's going to be a thing here.
It's going to be huge. And the party's going to be fun. And I credit the Jazz for doing it. Credit the, should call it SEG Media now or whatever, SEG Entertainment. But
did you see any Olympic hockey when it was here in 02?
I didn't.
Saw several games. I think I saw three, and I saw one that was in the medal round, although not the gold medal round. It was like the Czechs and the Russians, I think. And my point being, tickets weren't all that hard to come by for Olympic hockey. I would guess that won't be true the next
time.
The Olympics are here.
Yep. Absolutely. We're going to know the players, might even have some locals.
Yeah, all that.
Participating. It's going to be awesome. So go on down today.
The Maverick Center did a good job hosting that event, though. I guess it would be called the E-Center at the time. That's where the gold medal round was. Because the arena across the street from us was not really prepared to host hockey, and now we're going to have to make do with it for a year, yeah. But the renovations can be pretty cool.
I'm excited. The NBA product could improve both on the floor and the arena for NBA games. It's very good, and it could still get better.
The fans are the key component in that. You want to talk? I mean, there are certain ways that the Delta Center, you know, adds to the atmosphere. Don't get me wrong. But the fans are the key component of that. Don't lose sight. I mean, it's them that makes things loud. And also, the home court advantage, Ben, is it about the rabid fans? Kind of. I mean, there's something in that. Or is it about our altitude?
Helps.
So, you know what? If the NBA, like, loudness factor, I guess, takes a little bit of a hit, yeah, it's all right.
Yep.
It'll still be a home court advantage. All right. Stay tuned. We'll have more coming up next. What You Got Wednesday. At 11:30, we always look forward to that, kind of. More Jake and Ben coming up next, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, thank you very much for making us part of your day. Want to remind you, it's our 50 segment after all. It's brought to you by our friends at Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Peach Doors and Windows.
You know what's nice about Peach? Because we've seen it firsthand. We've done a lot of remotes down there. Really laid back. You're not going to have someone jump on you as soon as you walk in the door trying to sell you something that you don't want.
Oh, no.
Come in, try the doors. If you want to talk, if you want to walk through the showroom, they'll walk with you. If not, they're going to let you test everything out. Go at your own pace.
Well,
really cool.
Like a couple of those folks are like engineers.
Yeah, right.
You know, no, they're right there in the office. Yeah, you know what I mean? They're
absolutely
not like salespeople.
Yeah, it's not a commission-based sales staff.
That's not a thing. Ben, I've kind of alluded to this in the past, but can we do away with something in sports?
Okay.
The thank you from the team that you just parted ways with. Or the thank you from the player to the, I don't know, maybe that one's okay, the thank you from the player to the community or something like that. But the Jets are tweeting out, thank you, Zach Wilson. What are you thanking Zach Wilson for? You ruined his career and drummed him out of town. Thanks for what?
We have hurt the star players. Not that we need to worry too much about star players, but we have hurt the star players and the truly meaningful players on the planet in every sport by having a welcome back video for George Niang.
That is the pinnacle. It's
we
the worst.
We don't need a welcome back video for George Niang.
We don't need one for anybody.
If
retire
you
after
honor
your career,
Karl
maybe?
Malone.
Yeah, right.
When Karl Malone comes back as a member of the Lakers, and you want to say, Karl, 19 years or 18 years, whatever it was, unbelievable. What a ride. Thank you. If you're, these players who are finishing their career somewhere else, fine. George Niang doesn't need it.
See, I even think for Carl.
Okay, fine. If you want to have a no rule, zero tolerance, that's fine.
Let's wait until after your career. And you know what? I was at Carl Malone's retirement press conference, and they had it at Delta Center.
Yep.
And Larry Miller was up on the dais sitting right next to Carl. And, and then they honored him as he came back, and then the statue and all that perfectly appropriate. But he's on the other team. I'm going to honor somebody who's on the other team. Come on. And then you're expected to.
Yeah. And then it's like a thing if you don't.
Yeah, the Jets don't need to thank Zach. Well, what are you thanking Zach Wilson for? He doesn't want your thanks, I would guess. He watched Hard Knocks. Your whole franchise just badmouthed him the whole time. That was the whole thing.
And with all due respect, like, this is why you make tens of millions of dollars. Like, that is the thank you of being in the NFL.
You put your hurt feelings in your pocket and you move on.
Right. You're mad at Utah because they don't give you a thank you video when you return. Come on. Certain players, maybe. You say no, that's fine. But yeah, I'm
but
with you.
But see, let's just get rid of it. And then the players that need it or whatever, you can just lean on something and be like, oh, we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah. Right. Does BYU need to send a big thank you to Mark Pope?
Nope.
No.
They don't need to say no. It's fine. Trust me, the success he had at BYU, your mutual success, he really benefited from it.
Yeah.
You don't know his thank you is
$30 million he's getting from Kentucky.
You don't know that dude anything.
Not a bit. If he wants to thank BYU, great. That's on the individual. You can do that. That's his choice. I don't have any problem with that. Players want to say thank you to the team that they played for, great. Probably good to maintain that business like any employee. The teams don't need to do it. I'm totally with you.
So let's just blanket get rid of it. And then that way we don't feel like this semi-obligated, well, we should do it, or I guess we should. I mean, I really like George Niang's minivan commercial. We just don't do that. You want to come back after you retire? We'll have you a part
yeah,
we'll
of a,
we'll have you a part of a night. We'll give away Ronnie Brewer bobbleheads, and we'll have a really good time.
Also, you know what? The fans are smart enough to recognize, like, if Jordan Clarkson's not playing for the Jazz next year and he comes back on another team, give him a standing ovation. He doesn't have to have the video. Like, it can be organic because the fans are smart enough to know that Jordan was a fun player here and was beloved. Now, he will get a thank you video. I'm not going to pretend the Jazz wouldn't do that. Obviously, they do a huge one, but fans are smart enough to know who to celebrate and who to not care about. They don't care when Dante Exum comes back to Salt Lake City anymore, but they know with the big players that come back.
Yeah, and listen, I'm glad for a lot of reasons that Donovan Mitchell got a warm, not fairly, mm-hmm. nothing fairly, but I got a warm reception when he came back here. He played here for a long time, and he played really well and provided a lot of fun years for the Jazz fans. But what you got to realize is if he were booed or had a different type of reception, you know, people want to read into all that. And here's how you should. It's a TV show. People view it like a TV show. Ben, I pick random players to cheer for and cheer against just out of a hat. People do the same thing. People want to read into all this stuff. It's like, no. It's like this is a Jazz fan who wished Donovan Mitchell was still on the team and is somehow taking it personally that he's not. You brought up the incident with Gordon Hayward and the statue and all that. Like, people have a weird way of expressing themselves.
Yep, they do.
And a weird way of interpreting things. And just because some fans, like, I saw you tweeting out about a Philadelphia sports media beef.
That was good.
Listen, I know people who live in Philadelphia and have lived in Philadelphia, and they're perfectly lovely people. Some wingnuts got loose and booed Santa Claus, and now the whole, you know?
Yep.
It's like, I can say, well, yeah, some wingnut got loose and booed Santa Claus. Not say, all oh, that whole...
The entire Philly.
That whole Philly area. People from here love San Francisco and have relatives in the Bay Area. Do you remember when San Francisco Giants fans were throwing batteries at players in the bullpen and in left field?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are crazy.
Yep, they are.
We shouldn't sum up our feelings one way or another based on...
The actions of a few?
The actions of like a big crowd.
Yeah.
You think about, you stuff 20,000 people into one place at one time, how many differences of like opinion and view of the world and view of sports, and not to mention fans wearing other teams stuff. Like, it's amazing that crazy stuff doesn't happen more. I think.
The security guards are... fighting for their life every minute.
Didn't Jokic's brother beat up somebody?
Yes, he did.
Was it bad? I haven't seen the video.
He punched a guy right in the face.
What was the provocation? Do we know?
Sounds like they just said something. Which, you know, Jokic's brothers all look like him, but somehow more muscly.
Did they get arrested?
The cops are getting involved, yeah.
Well, yeah, you can't just punch people.
No, you cannot. Especially if you're a 7-footer who looks like Nikola Jokic in the crowd.
But provoking the very large brother of... player of the team. Probably
also a bad idea.
Is not the smartest move in the world.
Not everyone's smart.
I wish there was a had that coming loophole in the law.
Well, he deserved it.
I mean, I don't know if we could get that through, but like, could you look at certain circumstances and be like, oh, dude, he had that coming. I had a buddy who got beat up once, and everybody there was like, yeah, he had that coming.
Your officer, don't worry about it. He had it coming.
He totally had it coming.
Should get one card in your life. You get it with your Social Security card. It's called a "He Had It Coming" card, and you can play it one time.
Just like he had that coming.
He had it coming.
Stay tuned. More next. Jacob Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.